Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082. Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and Friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org/friends.
Are you a keen Sheffield Live listener? Do you want to get involved? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and it gets better when you take part. Contact us to find out how you can be part of Sheffield's newest radio station. Call us on 281-4092 or email us on info@sheffieldlive.org. 93.2 FM, Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
This is Sheffield Live.
This is Communities Live.
Because at that time the housing was cheaper.
I know it's not a big city centre, but there's still quite a few shops. I quite like it.
Dog and Partridge on Trippitt Lane every other Thursday.
I love the green room just for like acoustic nights.
This is Communities Live.
It's a very big question, isn't it?
We have a diverse society in Sheffield.
I like all the art sculptures.
It's friendly, there's a lot to do.
I really like the Peace Gardens. I like all the little fountains and little areas that you can just sit out and chill in.
Sheffield is a very nice city.
This is Communities Live.
I love Sheffield, yes. Love it. Been here 17 years.
I like Sheffield because the people are very friendly.
This is a large student community, so it makes it like very lively, very vibrant city in that regard, and also very multicultural, no?
And we love the Sheffield people.
Everything, the city, the nature, the outside of Sheffield, it's lovely. Great place.
Doesn't make the scene. He's got a daytime job.
Friday night. With the Sultans, with the Sultans of Swing.
Max Chance Show is now on from 5 to 7 p.m. Tuesdays. Hear eclectic music and a bit of comedy.
There's a place I must go. There's a place I must go. It's not a place I have seen.
All of times. must be some kind of way out of here. Say the joker to the thief. There's too much confusion. I can't get no relief. Businessman there, drink my wine. Plowman, dig my earth. None will level on the mine. Nobody of it is worth.
Hello and welcome to Communities Live here on Sheffield Live 93.2 FM. I'm Oliver Dixon.
I'm Chris Rinaldi.
I'm Patrick Nicholson.
I'm Lewis Wright.
Apologies for that. Decided that autoplay is on the computer. I will turn that off. How is everybody?
I'm all right, thank you. How are you, Oliver?
I'm fine. The four of us back together again after a few weeks.
Woohoo!
I know. I've been quite busy, haven't I? I mean, I had a few interviews and a possibility of another interview coming up, but we'll not say any more until we know for definite.
We'll keep it quiet.
So we'll
keep it to ourselves.
Keep it
now.
To ourselves for now.
But we did have the Reverend of the Makers interview with John McClure last week. That was a fantastic interview, Chris. Mm. Thank you for doing it.
Yeah, he's a great man, and you know what? And he's also number one in the charts, and you know what? I'm so glad for him because he's a great singer and really nice guy as well. Yeah. A really, really nice guy. And if you're listening, John, I wish you all the best, mate. And hopefully you stay in the charts for number one this week as well. Fingers crossed.
Yeah. Yeah, he's everywhere in the charts at the minute. He's here then, everywhere, travelling places. And he's also returning back home as well with tram lines in Just short of 2 months.
Yeah, short of 2 months. I know, it's been... can't believe how fast it's flown this year, you know. It's, I mean, it weren't 1 minute ago that we were already talking about who's going to be on the lineup, and now we're already near the tram lines. It's unbelievable.
Yes, it feels like yesterday since last year's concert, well, festival.
And I'm wondering, do you know what? I mean, it's. I don't think it's going to happen, but saying that we're going to be appearing on tram lines, do you think hopefully there might be a special guest who will be appearing as well in the form of Robbie Williams, who's done a song?
Who did the messed up song? Yeah,
he did the song Messed Up. There was another version of it, but we're not. We can't say that unfortunately.
Yeah, we don't want to. We don't want to be told off. We don't want to get the show cancelled. That would be the worst thing to happen in the world.
Exactly. And so, you know what? I mean, it's warm in here, isn't it? It's so humid. I mean, it looks absolutely miserable outside. It looks like it's gonna rain, but it's so warm out there.
Yeah. I wore a jumper leaving the house because it looked so grey.
I bought my jacket.
Horrible mistake. Horrible mistake.
I bought my jacket.
It's gonna get
the only person who's appropriately dressed for this weather is Brad with shorts.
Came in shorts and a t-shirt. Yeah, nothing else.
You've thought that thoroughly. But tomorrow is going to be the main start of hot weather for this bank holiday weekend. It's going to be up to 27 degrees, according to the Apple weather app.
Exactly.
Oof. I mean, don't get me wrong, I like hot weather, but when it's too hot, I can't do it. I'm sorry. I can't deal with too hot weather. But, I mean, I like it. When it's just nice like this, it's fine. But when it's too hot, no, I can't. I mean, I'll have to jump in a freezer.
Yeah. Cold showers all around. Whilst I remember, I just thought I'd explain why we played those songs. I just got carried away talking about the weather and tram lines there. Dire Straits' Sultans of Swing, 48 years since it released on Tuesday. And Blue Oyster Cult's Don't Fear the Reaper as Agents of Fortune turns 50 today. I didn't realise it was 50, I thought it was a year after. And we just thought we'd throw some Jimi Hendrix in there with All Along the Watchtower, because why not? Just embrace the amazing guitarist he was.
Yeah, brilliant.
And just in awe. I mean, as I mentioned a few weeks ago, I watched Jimi Hendrix at Woodstock a few weeks ago on a Sky documentary. And me, my dad, and my younger brother were just in awe. We just sat there watching the TV, no words, just for about 10 minutes straight, just watching. Yeah. We didn't know what to say, actually.
Yeah.
Is that the one where we did the Star Spangled Banner?
Yes, that's the same, the original Woodstock Festival in 1969. Yeah. That is, we actually saw that as well. They kept it, thankfully. And we do have an exciting quiz to come a bit later in the show, Lewis.
Yes, we do. So just a short film quiz for all the listeners. Don't have a prize, unfortunately, but if you do win, feel free to treat yourself to a nice pack of biscuits or something later on.
Dignity, that's the main prize.
Yes, you get to be smug for the rest of the day. That's the real prize, isn't it?
Yeah, I look forward to hearing these questions. Obviously, we can't answer them on air. We don't want to ruin it for everybody, but I'll have a think in my head.
Yes.
I'm sure we both will as well.
So, looking forward to it, Lewis.
Fantastic.
Yeah, nice bit of creativity, that.
Yeah, should we do that just before the next songs?
I think we might jump into a bit of music so we can catch our breath in this very humid room.
Yes.
And I also want to talk a little bit. Just before we jump into the next song, I want to talk about the next game that's coming out, which is the 007 First Light, which is about releasing in 1 week from now.
One week. The countdown is on, they say. We're going to jump into some ABBA, as we have been playing in the last few weeks, because around this time, 50 years ago, this is when they took the world by storm. Conquering the world. Two couples from Sweden who decided to do Eurovision ended up conquering the world. This specific song wasn't actually going to be an ABBA song. It was just going to be a solo song for Annie Friedlingstad from ABBA, until Björn Ulvaeus rewrote the lyrics in English this time, because the original one was in Swedish, as you'd expect. And it reached number one around this time in the UK about 50 years ago, and was featured in the recent series of Stranger Things in one episode. So if you do have Netflix, go back and watch it. But we're going to jump in with ABBA's Fernando.
Can you hear the drums, Fernando? I remember long ago another starry night like this. In the firelight, Fernando, you were humming to yourself and softly strumming your guitar. I could hear the distant drums and sounds of bugle calls were coming from afar. They were closer now, Fernando. Every hour, every minute seemed to last eternally. I was so afraid, Fernando. We were young and full of life, and none of us prepared to die. And I'm not ashamed to say the roar of guns and cannons almost made me cry.
Join me, Steve Roden, every Thursday morning between 10 and 12 for music from the 40s to the 90s from my own music collection. Songs I've grown up with, ones I am sure you will enjoy hearing again. Hope to see you then.
Abba's Fernando there on Communities Live, taking the UK number one spot around 50 years ago this time. And as I mentioned, A small Swedish band eventually getting to Eurovision, conquering the world. We're not going to talk about Eurovision after what happened at the weekend.
If you
listened to last week's show, you would have heard our entry. It didn't quite work out for Look Mum, no computer, did it?
Yeah. Well, I think it did work out for so many reasons, but
it's your standard, unfortunately, in this day and age, your standard UK finishing position.
But I will say this, though, at least we didn't finish on nil point.
At least we got a point. we have finished on nil point, so to say. 2021 was the last time.
So technically, it's an improvement. So, I guess, it's
an improvement. However,
I mean, at least Ukraine gave us a point. Let's just give them.
Thank you, Ukraine. And congratulations to Bulgaria, first time winners in 70 years of the competition. And maybe more to come. This might be the start of Bulgaria's music revolution, so to speak.
But I will say this, and I'll just have a little debate about it. I mean, do you think we're actually wasting our time with putting entries into the Eurovision? Because we don't seem to get anything. I mean, all right, we've had one or two couple of times where we actually got onto the top half of the board, like Sam Ryder. I mean, it was just unlucky that he didn't win it. We lost to Ukraine on that. And then there was also one with Andrew Lloyd Webber where we were in the top half as well. So, but other than that, we just don't seem to get any further, do we?
I mean, from the past few years, I've never heard of any of the artists that we've put submitted before they have been submitted. So yeah, I don't know how they're selecting, but maybe.
I think with Dean was like one of the top, like the main people for Eurovision. It's a bit like, but when you think of like football, you think of it, the top international teams. It's a bit like that, so we just automatically like get there.
Yeah,
we don't have to go through like the qualifying bits and the semi-finals and everything. We're just come thrown straight in there.
Yeah,
sometimes works out, sometimes it hasn't. But next year will be 30 years since we last won the competition.
Oh, wow. I mean, we tried. Sorry, go on.
I was just going to say. It's a long time.
Yeah.
And it is. Hopefully things change. I mean, as we said, Sam Ryder came within inches.
He did.
Inches of winning 4 years ago now. So hopefully one day we find the right person.
Hopefully.
Because we've produced some great songwriters. We're one of the best songwriting countries in the world.
Yeah.
So I mean, why does it not apply to Eurovision?
I mean, I will say this. I mean, we had some great singers a lot. I mean, we've had like some of the biggest singers, like, I mean, Engelbert on. We had
and Cliff Richard, 1968.
Bonnie Tyler. And even them, they've got no points, which I can't understand. I mean, the legends.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like they're massive, and you're telling me we don't deserve any points. Come off it. I mean, they're great singers. I mean, they're legends. How can you not give them any points? But, that's how Eurovision works, isn't it?
Yeah, we just have to just play a big waiting game, I think, till the next win. But I think we'll get into this quiz.
Yes.
I've been looking forward to it since yesterday.
Lovely. Okay, so just to give everyone a little intro. So we have four questions today. Second one is a two-parter, so it's technically five questions. And the first three you get a little hint with, but then the last two you just have to go straight for. So, we're all ready?
Yes.
Okay. All good. Lovely. So to start us off, can anyone tell me the highest grossing film of May 2016, so 10 years ago today, the highest grossing film of that month? And your hint for this one is, it is a Marvel film, which I think is kind of to be expected for around that period. Okay, and then question two, we're going back another 10 years, so the highest grossing film of May 2006, and your hint for this one is adapted from a book, so May 2006, highest grossing film. And it is adapted from a book. Question number three. We're going to go back another 10 years. So the highest grossing film of May 1996. Highest grossing film of May 1996. And your hint is, it is a disaster film. And then for your last question, a two-parter. Looking more recently, can anyone tell me the biggest box office hit and flop of this year so far? So the biggest box office hit and flop of this year so far. Film that has made the most money off its budget and lost the most money. Okay, now we'll let people think about it a little bit at home.
Shall we announce the answers next week? Like give them a week to think.
Yeah, sure.
Some of these questions might take some thinking.
Yeah. No Googling, though.
No Googling. If we find out you've Googled, you will be disqualified.
I'm joking. Well, so do you think we should wait next week, or should we give them the answers later on in the show, I think?
Because I think a week might be generous. We're very generous here at Community. We're nice people.
We will
give you a week to submit your answers. Is there any way of contact to get your answers in, Chris?
Yes, there is. You can contact us on our Communities Live Facebook page. We also have our very own website at Sheffield Live. chrisandallyshow.org. And you could also contact me on chrisandally89@gmail.com. But also, just saying that, it's not only just for the quiz. If you want to come and join us as part of our team, I mean, it's the same contact as well. So you can contact me at chrisandally89@gmail.com. You can contact us on our Communities Live Facebook page, or you can email us on our Sheffield Live website.
Brilliant. It just saves us saying it at the end as well. We might repeat it in the end, actually, but they are the details to get your answers in for the quiz and also to join us. There is still plenty of room around this table. There's an extra chair sat right next to, in between Lewis and Brad there. And I'm sure we can find some more chairs.
It
is a big enough studio to fit people in. Bring your ideas to the table. And hopefully, more join us. I do enjoy your four company, like the four of us, but we are looking for more people actively all the time.
And I want to ask you guys as well. I mean, we'll start with you, Oliver. I mean, how do you feel about coming on the show? I mean, what do you think?
Funny you ask that, because tomorrow will mark a year since I first stepped foot in the studio.
Wow.
I had to read through our messages just to get the exact date. I'm like, I just want to make sure it's definitely this, because I'll feel like a fool if I say the wrong day. But 1 year since I joined Sheffield Live.
What about you, Lewis? How do you feel?
I feel great. It's been a lot of fun getting involved. I was initially a bit terrified about coming in because, you know, there's always the worry that somehow you reveal the most embarrassing secret of your life on live radio. But thus far, that hasn't happened. Maybe next week, we'll see. But yeah, it's great. Everyone's really welcoming and inviting. And it's a lot of fun to get involved. I really recommend it to anyone who's thinking about it. Take the leap.
And what about you, Brad?
I'm enjoying it, yeah. I'm big on my music, so being able to do stuff that revolves around that, you know, it's always a big thing for me.
Almost a year since you joined as well. Yeah. It's coming up to it.
It was about a month or two after you started.
A year already.
We're like July or something like that. It was just after Tramlines, actually. A couple of weeks after Tramlines.
I think, yeah, about July, start of August at the latest.
Yeah.
I wish I kept the track of the dates. But yeah, it's around that time. So coming up to a year for you. And yeah. Chris, how long have you been doing the show for now? Oh. Apologies if I show your age or anything.
Oh, thanks. You made me feel right older. Thank you for that. 12 years.
12 years.
Nearly over 12 years, yeah. I mean, and I was just like you three. I mean, at the first, I was very nervous. I mean, did I think I were going to come here and do a live show? No, I didn't. I mean, it was amazing how I started, really, because I thought I was going to be a runner, you know, like producing news stories, make cups of coffee, clean the equipment, produce news stories for our hosts. And they said to me on first day, and I was in that computer room right at the start, looking at some news stories, "Do you want to do a live show?" And I was like, "What?"
Straight into the deep end.
And I never had any training whatsoever. Never had any training on radio whatsoever. And you know what? I will never look back ever since.
12 years later, it's Communities Live still going strong, and it's only going to get stronger.
And you know what? But also, the people you get to meet is unbelievable.
And that's just us. there's other fantastic people at Sheffield Live too. Just like our very own Steve Roden, who we always have a nice chat with after he does his Music Box show, which you can listen to every Thursday morning between 10 and 12. It's always nice talking to Steve as he's leaving the studio and passing it over to us. Should we get into some more music? It's got a bit cooler in this room now since I've opened a window, and I think the AC's working now. So we're going to have a little music break, then we're going to talk about that Bond game we'll be on about.
I'm looking forward to that one, actually.
The next song, a few days ago now, marked 16 years since this heavy metal singer's unfortunate passing. He's definitely going to be on my Mount Rushmore of heavy metal singers. I'm sure he is too, Brad, for you.
Yeah.
And it's from his band, who he named himself after. Mm. This was after Sabbath and Rainbow he was in, and the band Elf. He's been in a load of bands, this man. And if you are a Marvel fan and you watch Thor, Love and Thunder, you might remember the credit scene has this song in it. And this was filmed in London, actually, this music video, you'll see. Us in the studio will see. And we're going to go with Dio's Rainbow in the Dark.
If you like rock in all its forms, you will love Glory Days. You can listen to us locally on 93.2 FM and on the telly, and anywhere in the world on sheffieldlive.org. What do you think, Don? You know what? I think he likes it. That's Glory Days, every Monday 1 till 3 here on Sheffield Live. Bosh, bosh.
Oops, I've had an accident.
Dio with Rainbow in the Dark here on Communities Live. That was filmed in London, as I saw, and just imagine you walking through London in 1982, 83, and you just see Ronnie James Dio just singing on a roof.
You know,
just imagine that just for a second.
Yeah. You know, I can't believe we're talking about a song that's been nearly 40 years ago. It doesn't sound like, doesn't seem 40 years ago, does it?
It was a bit ahead of its time, I think, wasn't
it? Yeah.
I mean, a lot of these songs are way ahead of its time. I mean, you know, it's unbelievable. And, I mean, you wouldn't have thought it would have been released 30, 40 years ago. I mean, it's just amazing how time has flown. I mean, it's like I was talking to somebody yesterday about AI and that. Now, we never even heard of AI about 30, 40 years ago when I was a kid. All that I know about is that it belonged on a sci-fi science fiction film called The Terminator.
Think of 2001 and stuff,
wouldn't you? Yeah, 2001, Space Odyssey, yeah. And, I mean, it's true what we say, Terminator has come real. It really has come, because now we're living in an age now where AI has pretty much taken over everything. Mm. And it can be dangerous. I think it could be dangerous if it's not utilised properly, I think. I don't want to scare people, but it's taken over jobs. It's taken over pretty much everything in every way in every day in our lives, really. Yeah, it's frightening what we're going to think of next.
It's a strange situation, I think, because AI has managed to take off so much, but we're at a point where it's still not actually as smart as, you know, the movies paint it out to be. You know, we were picturing Skynet taking over the world, and then now we have strawberry being spelt with two R's instead of three, but, you know.
I mean, to say it's not as intelligent as it yet, but there's still plenty of time where it could be. I mean, It's still early stages at the moment, like, but I mean, I don't want to think about. But I mean, it's like, I could just imagine that eventually we're going to have robots. And, I mean, we've already got robots, but I mean, like, actual proper robots, like, who are doing jobs for us, like proper cyborgs where we could have a chat with them. I could just imagine a future like that in the. I don't want to put a time frame.
We don't know when, but we might not want to think about it at the minute, because it's a bit of a scary thought.
Yeah, I mean, I watched a trailer, a film trailer, and because a lot of films now a lot of films are using AI, and I mean, all right, the family of this actor gave him their permission to use his likeness and voice. And we made Val Kilmer in the film AI. All AI. We made voice as well. Voice. And I don't know. I don't. It looks so distasteful. Because I think, I mean, a lot of people, I mean, because it's like you put this actor in this film and AI. And I mean, a lot of people might be might not agree with me. We might think it's greater than that, but I don't know. I think it just didn't resonate well with me, to be honest.
I mean, there wasn't, the only reason why they did the voice is because he had throat cancer at the time, so he couldn't talk. Yeah. No, if you hear Val Kilmer speaking in like later interviews before he's passing, he's got the thing he has to like push down. I don't know what it's called, but he lost his speech as it was, and with the film, he needed his speech because of how iconic his character was.
But saying that, Dr. Grung is a great actor, but I think actually I've just remembered they actually done it before with Peter Cushing from Star Wars Rogue One.
Okay.
They actually brought him back. And he was one of the original villains in the original Star Wars trilogy. Episode 4 he was in. He was the general. Mm. And they brought him back for Rogue One. His likeness and everything. And his voice.
It was uncanny.
You can't believe it.
It was just like being in 1977 again.
Yeah, and it just makes you think that, has he actually, the way they look, I mean, you could see that they look computerised, but you would have thought, when you look at it, you didn't think he was actually dead.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
It looks computerised a lot of times when you know that it is, artificially or CGI done, so you sort of expect it. But if you didn't know, like I didn't know, it had been ages since I'd seen the original Star Wars, and then when I watched it, I had no idea it was a CGI.
And Rogue One, I mean, great film, by the way. I've got to say, have you seen Rogue One?
Yeah. I haven't, no.
I have, yeah. Right.
Well, for Brad, Rogue One sits between Episode 3 and Episode 4.
Okay.
It takes place where they tried to get the Death Star plans. I don't want to stay too much into it because I don't want to spoil the film, but if you like Star Wars, it's more like a war film than a... It's not... Right, I mean, there's no comedy or like that. It's like... Kind of like a Saving Private Ryan, but in space. Mm. In a way. It leaves exactly where Episode 4 starts.
Right, okay.
I'll just say that. Mm. But other than that, great film. But speaking of Star Wars, there's another film coming out called The Mandalorian and Grogu.
Yes.
Yeah. That's coming out, soon. And I don't know. I haven't seen The Mandalorian. Any good? I've got to start watching that, actually.
It's a pretty good series. They've managed to actually revive Star Wars somehow because Star Wars was dead after Episode 9.
We don't talk about Episode 9.
Disney had sort of made it lose its spark, almost. But the TV series, well, most of them, kind of brought it back up. Thank you, Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau, for that. Mm. They've played a massive part. And Bryce Dallas Howard on occasions as well. Three people who are bringing Star Wars back, slowly but surely.
I don't want to say, but I mean, you know, the sequel trilogy, it didn't need it. It did not need it. I mean, it had a great ending with Episode 6. Yeah. They could have just left it there. I mean, if they wanted to do a new film trilogy, don't do a Skywalker trilogy. Do something else. You could have done something different, you know.
It seems bizarre that they planned out to have a trilogy, but didn't plan out what the story was and changed who was contributing to the story in the middle of it and then changed it back because they didn't like it. It just seems like for the biggest kind of franchise in the world, they would have had a little bit of planning going into it, you know?
It's like, why you made a Skywalker. Well, I'm spoiling it if you hadn't seen the film. So, sorry, spoilers, ladies and gentlemen. You made Han Solo's and Princess Leia's son the villain.
Hmm.
And I don't... It's just like... It's just... You've just basically done the same with Luke's dad. Who was Darth Vader. Yeah. And Luke's... I mean, it's like... You've just done the same with that. It's like... You basically took the same ideas from the past few films and just remade it, basically. It's like it's basically a remake of 4, 5 and 6.
Yeah.
But poor.
Well, yeah. A pale imitation of them, really, if anything. Like, just... Yeah. It was definitely done for money as opposed to just art or anything.
I mean, Snoke, wasted potential. Wasted potential with what we did with Snoke. I don't want to, like I say, I don't want to spoil too much. And then they bring back Emperor Palpatine for no reason at Episode 9. I mean, they killed him off in Episode 6, so why bring him back? I mean, it did not make any sense.
No.
So they can't make their mind up on what they want to do, almost.
Literally. Actually, the Mandalorian film releases tomorrow in the UK. It's that soon. So if anyone wants to go down and watch it, do feel free, and if I hear reviews and if I go and see it myself, if I find the time, I shall. But in the last, we've only got a couple of minutes left of the show.
I want to talk about, I've got a video.
We are going to get into that next.
a certain James Bond game, which we mentioned a few weeks ago when Chris was last with us. Just a quick summary, I think.
Yes.
Because you're more of an expert on this than we are.
Yeah. So, well, it's from IOI Interactive, who made the Hitman series, and Kane and Lynch, for people who have also played Kane and Lynch. Great games, by the way. I mean, to say Hitman, I mean, Hitman was closest to a James Bond game. Just needed a couple of things more in there, but now they're actually making their own James Bond game. And from what I've seen, it looks really, really good. Patrick Gibson from Dexter fame is doing the active, is playing James Bond. And we also got Lenny Kravitz as the main villain. Well, say main villain, I mean, he's playing a villain. I don't know if he's the main villain, but...
so there might be multiple villains, maybe.
Yeah, Lenny Kravitz, I mean, that's going to be an interesting take on a villain. Lenny Kravitz, I mean, I don't think I've seen him in any films or anything
like
that.
Not that I know of, no.
Not that I know of, anyway, but...
well, he was in the first two Hunger Games films. Everyone...
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know what, I've never seen Hunger Games.
Completely forgot about
I have never seen Hunger Games.
Just forgot about that until you reminded me.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, yeah.
Wait a minute.
I've never seen Hunger Games. I have to start watching them.
No, yeah, but not for a while.
He's quite a good actor, though, just from like the little bits I've seen him in. I think, he's very...
I'd love to see how this Bond villain works.
I mean, there's a clip on YouTube, and it's only a short clip. It's like, just giving you a taste of what to expect. Like, and there's no spoilers, so I can talk about the scene, because he's like, James Bond is like being captured with his mentor, who's played by Lenny James from The Walking Dead, by the way, who's and he's trying to train James Bond into how to get his 00 license, because you don't get the 00 license at the start. You've got to, it's like, say, it's called Earn a Number, so it's a James Bond origin story. And from what I've seen in the trailers, he is not happy with training James Bond because he thinks he's reckless, and he's not, and he doesn't want to put him in the program, basically. Now, how that pans out in the end, who knows? During the scene, he was hanging. They've tied him up, and he was they were hanging upside down, a crocodile pit, and you can just imagine where it ends from it. I mean, we don't know how we escape, if we escape. Well, we will escape.
It probably will.
We will escape, because it's an origin
story. It's quite a short game, actually.
I mean, we will escape somehow, but how, we don't know yet.
We'll have to find out.
But, I mean, from what I've seen gameplay-wise, I was expecting it to be more Hitman, but it's not a full-on Hitman game. I mean, there's some Hitman elements to it, like stealth and, you know, you can choose how to do your target, do your objectives and stuff like that. But there's also, like, pieces of Uncharted, like climbing and driving.
A little bit of Watch Dogs as well, I'd say.
Watch Dogs, Watch Dogs. I mean, you know, I was so disappointed with Watch Dogs with the third game. It really let me down, that one. I mean, the first one, I mean, when I saw the trailer for the first one, I think they overhyped it, didn't they?
Yeah.
Unfortunately. They really overhyped it. And the graphic quality wise wasn't as good as when you actually. But overall, it was still a good game. The second one, I think, was the best game.
I love the second game. I'm so glad you said that. I think it's so underrated.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's an underrated. I mean, it could have been the potential of being the GTA beta that we needed. But, I mean, I still think GTA would have still beaten it, no matter what, but it would have been the franchise to put it up against. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, it was more unique and a bit more different to GTA than the first one. Which gave it a bit more.
And it's interesting how to put it to make what we play as hackers as well, because it's interesting to see what we do from a hacker's perspective, and it's like, and I always remember this. I won't keep you too long, Oliver, I promise. Where we did. We were hacking people's bank accounts.
Oh, yeah.
And It was like, it was so funny. And then this bloke, when we took all his money out, he says, do you want to open a new starter account? And he was saying, like, where's my money? Where's my money? And there was a lot of swearing in it, but yeah, we're not broadcast that.
Yeah. No, we, unfortunately, at the end of the show.
Once again,
it's flown by, but it's been nice to have all four of us in the studio once again. Because it's been a few weeks now. Hopefully we're all back next week.
I will mention this though. It's early days at the moment, but we are relocating.
There's more information on that next week. But, we'll find out a bit more.
We'll give you more information in due course, but up to now we are relocating some point later on in this year. More details to follow. We'll keep you informed on that. But up to now, this is Chris and the Lake. Goodbye.
Goodbye from Oliver Dixon.
Goodbye from Bradley Middleton.
And goodbye from Lewis.
And our final song, this lady celebrated her 80th birthday yesterday, so we're going to like play a little tribute to her, and it is the one and only Cher. It's been a year since I joined the show, so I'm going to turn back time and think about the last year. But we'll see you all.
Very good segue.
We'll see you next week. Goodbye for now.
Said the things I said. Pride's like a knife, it can cut deep inside. Words are like weapons, they wound sometimes. I didn't really mean to hurt you.